Are you looking for a little more purpose in your life? Did you know that your money can help others and be a source of good in the world? It seems counterintuitive, but using your money for good can actually help your finances in the long run. You don't even need a lot of money to make a difference. From giving to causes that matter to you, to volunteering for a community organization, your resources can make the world a better place. Our special guest, Harlan Landis, has been working to use his resources to help others in his community. We talked to him about different ways you can get involved and ways you can make a difference for good. For show notes, head over to moneymastermindshow.com/episode33. And remember, you can get this podcast and all its episodes delivered to you free by subscribing in iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here's the show.
Welcome to the Money Mastermind Show. Let's talk money.
Welcome to the Money Mastermind Show. Tonight, we are talking about using your money and your time for good. And to help us out, we have a special guest. We have Harlan, otherwise known as Luke, otherwise known as Flexo Landis, of LukeLandis.com. And the rest of the Money Mastermind Show are the venerable Miranda Marquitt of Planting Money Seeds, Tom Drake of the Canadian Finance Blog. We have two others who weren't able to make it tonight. That's Peter Anderson of Bible Money Matters and Kyle Prevo of youngandthrifty.ca. I'm Glenn Craig of Free From Broke, and I'll be moderating tonight. Let's jump into this, helping others. I think it's something that most of us generally would want to do. I don't think most of us are that greedy that we don't want to help out any other people at all. But I think the question is, how can we best do it? And what's the best way to go about just giving our money or our time to other people? I think let's maybe start with money, because I think that's what a lot of people think about when they think about giving to others. So what's the best way that we can portion out our money to help people?
There are certain times where you have to focus foremost on yourself, and that's completely understandable. I know that there was a time when I was not in good financial shape myself. And there are lots of things I would have liked to have been able to do with my, you know, with my money and being able to give back and help others. In certain instances, you doing so might put you in a precarious financial situation yourself. And you have to think about your family and your future as well. That's one of the reasons that I think people talk not just about giving their money, but their time or their talents. As well as their treasure. You know, that's the three T's, a trifecta of giving. It's hard to say, you know, a good rule of thumb as far as, you know, giving money away or how to deal with charity, because you can offer some percentages, you know, maybe work to give away 10% of your income. It can really be, depending on your situation, it can really be a difficult thing to achieve. Of course, being able to achieve difficult things like giving 10% of your income when you might need that money to save for the future for your family, or you might need that money to pay off debt, or you might need that money to pay your mortgage or your rent. Being able to still get past all of those basic needs and give 10% of your income, it's rewarding because you see this as something important and you prioritize it. And that's why a lot of people start that way. I think the 10% comes from traditionally in certain religions, people are encouraged to give 10% of their income back to either their church or their community. I think that's just a good place to start, but I wouldn't beat yourself up over not being able to do that and deciding that you need to prioritize other things in your life for a certain amount of time. That's what I had to do. I mean, I wasn't able to give to charity for a long time. I looked at, you know, into other ways to give back, whether it was you know, for the most part, it was volunteering with arts organizations. That's pretty much what I did when I didn't have money because I wasn't even, you know, I wasn't able to afford to work. I was in worse and worse financial situations each month, but I could still find time to, you know, contribute my time.
I think you make a great point in finding the priority, too. You know, you talk about 10%, and I know certain people, they have that as a set. We live in a national society where we're not even putting enough money into our savings or into retirement. So where is the priority? Do we maybe make sure that we take care of ourselves first? Is that greedy? You know, I think it's a fine line to some degree. We put it, maybe a pay ourselves first and make sure that we're always putting money away. But, you know, where do you weigh that money to put away?
Well, one of the things that has always struck me is the old, that they compare giving to the whole spiel that they give you on your airline, right? You have, you know, take care of yourself first. Before you put the mask on your child, you're supposed to put the mask on yourself first and make sure that you're taken care of. Because how are you supposed to take care of, you know, and I thought about this a lot too once I started traveling more with my son, where we're sitting there and I was thinking about it and I was like, well, of course, as a mother, my first instinct is, you know, put that mask on my son and make sure he's taken care of. But what would happen to him if I didn't take care of myself first? Would I even be able to get the mask on him if I was passing out because I was trying to get the mask on him? That comparison, I think, is something that's kind of valid. I mean, how can you take care of somebody else if you haven't already taken care of where you're at? I wouldn't advocate going overboard and being, well, I've got to have my big fancy car and I have to have my big fancy house and I have to have all these things before I start giving. I do think the basic level of taking care of your survival needs is important before you start getting carried away with the charitable giving.
And just like we've mentioned a few times on this show, if you have debt, that's pretty much should always be priority number one, like to get rid of that, because you can't help anyone else when you're in debt. But eventually you get to a point where you do have some available money, you can help out.
And can we get a little more specific on that debt to this way? Because I think, let's be honest, my mortgage is debt. But if I wait until I pay off my mortgage to donate anything.
High interest credit card debt.
Yeah. The crippling debt, yeah, not so much a mortgage.
No, you know, I throw that out there because not everybody that's listening and watching knows the distinction necessarily.
It just depends on your personal preference as well. And just as you can step up your retirement account contributions, you can step up your charitable contributions. Harlan was talking about 10%. And as he said, that's a really common number from our traditional standpoint. But some people can't just immediately go, oh, well, I'm just going to do 10% of my income every month. Just as a lot of people are looking at it and they say, oh, really? Give 10% for my retirement savings? I cannot do that right now. And so you can step it up just as you would with any other goal. You can start out by saying, well, I can start out by giving like $50, or you can give 2% of my income this month. And after 6 months, after I'm used to it, and after I've made some changes, and after I've got a raise, maybe I can step that up. And so you can start stepping up towards your goal. I mean, you can make it a goal just as you would any other financial goal that you have.
Now, I mean, I might get blasted for this,
but
I'm just going to throw it out there. We all pay taxes, and taxes pay for any number of different organizations and things out there. Is it wrong to think that because of we're paying our taxes, that we're already giving to different charities?
Well, taxes don't pay for all the needs that exist out there in the world. You know, the taxes that you pay, yeah, a portion of that will go to welfare programs and other things sponsored by state and national government. It doesn't really, I mean, you look at that and you see how people criticize these same governments for misusing the funds, or the funds are running low and we're worried about Social Security. If you're going to criticize the government for mishandling the money that we use for tax, you can't also then use the fact that you pay taxes kind of an excuse and say, well, I'm doing enough good in the world by paying taxes. As an individual, we don't have control over how our tax money is spent, divided amongst all of the federal governmental needs, everything from the military to welfare and to education. You know, there's priorities and they're all set by the government, the people we vote in. On a day-to-day basis, you can have more of an impact, which I think should be important to anybody who really sees charitable giving as a value of theirs. Hand in hand with that, it's not just writing checks out into the world and saying, I'm done with this, I've done my duty. The whole point is to actually, you know, have an effect. And it's easier to do that when it's an effect that you can see, and you can see how you're helping an organization or people directly. So that's why I don't always like giving to national or international organizations. I'd rather work closely with organizations in my community or that are related to something specific. On the same vein, giving your time can be a lot more effective in providing you with that immediate feedback and as to seeing how you're actually helping whoever it is that you intend to help. Because a lot of times, I mean, you can send money to And I've done this before. I did some back on consumerism commentary. I did some charitable giving drives, and I've given to Doctors Without Borders 1 year, and it was in response to, I think, the earthquake in Haiti. These were certain organizations that would put out a need when a crisis arises. I'm not entirely sure that, you know, the funds that consumerism commentary provided were used specifically for that specific goal, even though the organization kind of uses that as a way to gain more money. Basically, the whole fundraising process is so slow that when something arises, like an earthquake, an organization that does go out and they're on the ground helping people, they have to use funds that they already have. By the time they get out the fundraising, they're basically raising money for the next crisis at that time. So it's something to keep in mind just as you try to decide, you know, how you want to give and how your money can be most effective. Sometimes really looking to community organizations or smaller groups would be something that, you know, would be more beneficial.
Going back to your tax question, the research shows that even if you, well, first of all, as Harlan pointed out, all of our tax money isn't going to wealth redistribution. I mean, we have things to pay for, like roads and the postal service and law enforcement and things like that, that we, you know, everybody uses, and it's not just welfare. But they've done studies and they found that even if you got rid of that sort of wealth distribution, the philanthropy we have in the United States would not be enough to take care of the disadvantaged, to take care of the poor. They have a study that says for each of the last 40 years, Americans have given away the same proportion of money without change, roughly 2% of GDP. Even after the Bush tax cuts and the early part of the 2000s, the rate of giving did not rise at a percentage of GDP. So even if you cut taxes and get rid of that aspect of it, it doesn't mean people are going to be giving more money to charity. And then on top of that, I know I'm just going to overwhelm you now. On top of that, it shows that a lot of what we give away, about a third of it, close to 32%, actually goes to churches and religious institutions. A good deal of it after that goes to hospitals and universities and cultural institutions like museums. And so one of the things that they found are these wealthy people who are giving money and getting their tax break for it are giving to institutions that benefit them. So they're getting a tax break for giving to institutions like museums that they get to go to and go to gala events at and enjoy. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, because I enjoy a good museum. I like to go to the museum. But at the same time, this idea that, oh, well, if we just change the way we do taxes, or if we let charity take over, then all of a sudden all of our poor would be cared for. That's not the case. We would still have hunger problems and there would still be issues. Plus, government programs are really needed, and even those are falling short in a lot of cases.
Speaking of taxes, I can't speak to the American side, but in Canada, we get some really good tax credits on our donations. So with a regular donation, you can easily get like a $200 credit back on your $500 donation. And if you're donating to a political party, they'll happily give you back 75%. So you're better off donating to political parties than regular charities here. But either way, they're both really solid donations on, or credits on your donations.
So we have economic terms of economic lag and mismatched incentives that we have as problems.
Well, and I think, too, also to Harlan's point about charity and giving to community organizations, that's something actually that I really enjoy, and that kind of hits home for me too. I prefer the food bank and like local women's and children's shelters, just because those are things that I see an impact in the community and things are important. And I'm going to say something terrible now, but I actually started reducing the amount that I give to my church directly, because I was looking at how the money was being used, or rather how they weren't reporting how the money was being used. And I wasn't sure that it was really doing that much good for the poor. And so my husband and I talked about it, and we cut our tithing. And we started moving that money from going to our church, which is a world organization kind of on a large scale. We moved it from our church. We still give to our church, but not as much. And we started shifting that toward community efforts and putting our money there, because we wanted it to be more effective. There is kind of that aspect, too, because we really did look at look at the church and our particular church, and we were looking at it and going, I don't know that the money's going someplace useful where we want it to go.
And, you know, I think that's it's a common problem, and I'm sure your church is fine, and the money really is, you know, there was a good portion of it going to help people, but there are a
you
lot
think
of organizations.
That. It's a nice thought.
There are a lot of organizations out there where you find out after the fact that a good portion of the money is administrative. There was, I don't have the report in front of me. The thing you see around a lot are these little kind of dumpster drop-offs for clothes and such, which sound like a great idea, and I've used them many times. But then you find out that there's these organizations that really just kind of take them. They take the money, and they're not quite legit. So I think a big problem also is, you know, how do you vet these companies? How do you figure out, is your money going to its end goal?
Yeah. Well, one of the first things that I tend to do, especially if I hear about an organization in the news that sounds interesting to me, or if I just find out about a group and I want to see, you know, how they run things, there are two sites I tend to check. And the first is Charity Navigator. The second is GuideStar. Both of them have useful information that will tell you quite a bit about any nonprofit 501c3 in the United States organization that you could possibly get a tax deduction for your donation. I like going in even deeper than that because you shouldn't invest in companies without understanding their financial goals and their financial status and their outlook. You really shouldn't give to a charity without reviewing their Form 990, which is an IRS tax form that every charity needs to file every year, except for very new charities and except for charities that are, I think, if they have less than $50,000 in revenue in a year, they don't need to file one, or they file a small version of it. But either way, for most charities, there's going to be this Form 990 that they filed, publicly available, and you can find it easily on one of those two sites that I just mentioned. Find out an organization this way because they all have to report their revenue. They all have to report their expenses. You can see how they're spending their money. You can see how highly paid their CEO is. You can see if there's some kind of disconnection between the highly compensated employees within the nonprofit and their mission. And these are all things that you should look out for. It's kind of hard to do because sometimes it can be convoluted, especially with these international organizations where you have one organization that's kind of the global umbrella organization. And then they have one branch of their organization is just for the United States. And then maybe even each state has its own chapter of this organization. And the organization you could be dealing with could be any one of those. So you kind of have to, you know, get a good feel for who you're dealing with before you decide to send a check or give them your support.
There's a couple sites for Canadian listeners as well. Charityintelligence.ca actually rates all the different charities. And the CRA also has a page, but we'll have to give you a link for that after because it's long.
Ah, the CRA.
So like with anything with money, it helps to do your homework and find out what's going on out there if you really want to be effective with it. It seems like. So don't just jump on something because some celebrity or big cause is out there. You want to find out if your money is hitting its end goal, the people that it's actually helping.
Yeah, and do some research on the ground too. If you're contemplating a sizable donation, you know, talk to people who work at the organization. Talk to the director or the CEO or whoever you can get in touch with. Volunteer for a while. Really get a feel for how that organization works in the community that it's supposed to help, because that will give you some insight that perhaps reading the 990 or the ratings on any one of the websites that rates organizations, they won't give you that. They won't give you what it feels like to be part of that organization. But I think that's a good way to vet what you're doing as well.
And here's another thought. I know you've talked about volunteering your time and how that's what you've done in the past. And I've done that as well. But there's still this feeling that I've gotten, at least, I don't know if any of you have gotten that, where if you're not giving enough money, you're not really donating, where maybe your time is somehow discounted. But is that right? I mean, how valuable is your time versus the dollars that you give to a company?
Well, it's interesting that we can get a tax deduction for the money that we provide to an organization, but we can't get any tax deduction for the time that we spend volunteering. And I think, you know, people have had some thoughts over the years and how we might be able to fix that. And the organizational level, I know that organizations try to show how much they appreciate the time that their volunteers give. Some organizations more than others. And you have to, you know, determine whether you're being appreciated enough. I mean, when you look at it, isn't the reason that we give, part of the reason that we give our time, treasure, and talent is because we have a need within ourselves to do good. So in the end, you know, perhaps there is a bit of selfishness to actually giving away money, because we are doing part of it for this need that we have within ourselves to be a good person. You know, it's just something to think about. How much appreciation do you need? You look at, like Miranda was talking about, the people who give to museums. You give a lot of money to a museum, they're going to name a wing after you. You're going to have your name for everyone to see, everyone who goes through this museum, all of your peers. It's an interesting way to make your name kind of stand out a little bit. But that might not be right for everybody. There's certainly a good reason to want to give anonymously. That kind of shows that this really isn't about me. I'm trying to do a good thing here for people who I care about. But at the same time, organizations do like to see people giving money non-anonymously, because there is a lot of, because there's a social factor. And this was, you know, even way before there was, you know, social media on the internet. But there's a social factor in that as your peers see you doing certain things, the thought is that they will also want to contribute as well. You know, they'll feel like that is the right thing to do. It's a little bit of a peer pressure thing. But that's why organizations like, you know, they often prefer that givers not be anonymous.
Yeah, there is a status to how much you can give also, isn't there? You look around any major city, and you start seeing the names of things, and you realize who these connect back to. And a lot of it is the robber barons of the late 1800s, the early 1900s. It kind of whitewashes a lot of ills that have been done in maybe fighting your way up to the top. What would you consider volunteering time? I mean, does it have to be something along the lines of working in a soup kitchen, or could it be something as simple as volunteering with the PTA? You know, to what level is that considered?
Well, I think it all depends on who you want to reach with whatever you're doing. You know, something like the PTA, I mean, obviously these organizations need to exist because they need the help to organize school functions and everything else that goes along with that. Obviously, that needs to exist because we don't have any other way to do it. That is certainly one way to give your time. You look at who you're impacting. You're impacting, you're impacting the school. You're impacting the future, you know, the future leaders of whatever it happens to be, your community. And that could be interesting enough to you, and it certainly should be for you to consider that as, you know, giving back to your community in some way, because it really is. But, you know, if that really isn't all that interesting to you, maybe you don't have children. It would look weird if you were on the PTA and you didn't have any children in the school. You look around the marching band organizations and you see parents who continue to help out year after year, even though their kids have graduated in the past. So, you know, you kind of think about that too. If you're more interested in helping, you know, the homeless or something like that, or if you're more interested in working in the arts, then, you know, the PTA might not be, you know, you might do that, but it might not be where you see yourself as contributing the most of what you contribute.
And I'm not knocking the PTA. I'm just throwing it out there is that there are different levels maybe or different ways that you can volunteer your time. And, you know, I don't want to say that one is necessarily any better than the other. I'm just trying to throw it out there and see what you guys think about that when I threw that question out there. But I think you find your wheelhouse, and as long as you can affect somebody else's life, what you're volunteering is worthwhile.
Well, yeah, and I also point out that charity isn't always about helping the poor. I mean, that's how a lot of people think of charity. It's certainly a great way to think about it, but it's not the only way. There are lots of other things that you can do. One of the organizations that I work with, basically the people who participate in this are middle class to upper middle class families. So it's not really charity so much, but we are providing people a service that they're not getting in their schools, they're not getting this type of education. elsewhere. So it is filling a hole, even if that hole, you know, might not be for the poorest community.
Right, just because you're not affecting a third world nation doesn't necessarily mean that your work doesn't have validity to it.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with what you are comfortable with and what is important to you and what you think is a worthy cause and what you think, as Harlan said, will impact people in a way that you think is good for your community. A lot of it has to do with getting outside of yourself, getting out there, making those connections and being a part of your community and a part of the larger society. A lot of the time, especially now, it's so easy just to get wrapped up in yourself and get wrapped up in what's going on in your own life. And especially, you know, I work behind a computer every day. And one of the things that I started doing last year was I joined the PTA. And it's not something that I would normally have thought, but education is important. And I think that it's a, you know, worthy cause. And I thought this gets me out and connects me more with my community and helps get me involved and it kind of takes me out of myself. And one of the things Dunn was going to do for Martin Luther King Jr. Day is they had this activity at the school where they went and they packed lunches for a local homeless shelter. And that's that sort of meaningful service that connects you with your wider community, I think, has value in and of itself, because it does force you to kind of not be as self-centered. It's so easy for us to just go in our garages and shut our garage doors and never have to interact with other people. Having those roots in the community, I think, helps build our society and helps us connect to people we wouldn't maybe normally connect to, and also helps us be more aware of the people around us. They talk about the bubbles we get in and how it's hard for us to relate to people we don't know and relate to their situations when we don't know them. Being able to get out there and volunteer some time to a cause you think is good brings you outside of yourself and connects you more. And I think that benefits everyone.
And I think when you consider it that way too, it maybe opens up the universe of volunteering a little more. It doesn't have to be that I'm going to go and work this soup kitchen somewhere on a specific holiday or something like that. It could be something as simple as doing a local fundraiser for something or helping a local organization do something. Even if it's on a smaller scale, you can still put a lot into it and still get a lot out of it. So I think that's important for people to know. Everything doesn't have to be a giant save the world sort of organization or event. So, I mean, besides charities, what other ways maybe could we use our money for good to help people?
Well, one of the ways that I think that we can use our money to help people is to be entrepreneurial. And I think that 10 years ago, I'd be surprised to hear myself saying this. It really is true. Being able to start your own business, as you know, assuming that business is focused somewhat on a service or product that people need, and you know, not every business is. You are providing something back to the world, and you are possibly using your own money to fund that endeavor. I think it can be interesting that way. Last year, I started a nonprofit of my own. I haven't gotten very far with it, but you know, that's something that people can consider doing. They can start a foundation, they can start a charity, and you don't need a lot of money to do it. Just a lot of drive and a lot of interest in whatever you're planning to do. You don't always have to go out to another organization to help people. You can start something on your own, whether it's a business or a nonprofit or a charity or a foundation.
So you get to go out there and be your own agent of change, basically.
Absolutely. And you can even do that without an organization. You can just go out and do it. You know, you don't have to start a business. You don't have to. If there's something that you have in mind that you are passionate about and you're ready to help in some form, you just go out and do it. You can use your own money and buy people sandwiches if that's what it is. You know, there's nothing that's really stopping you.
And I mean, I think, yeah, if something comes up, you could probably create your own like one-off event or something along those lines. Just organize something and just get people in your community together for something that doesn't, like you said, doesn't have to be a freestanding organization. Piggyback off something else, a church event or a scout event or a fire department event or something like that, and then help to make some change.
Yeah, I think people are just naturally drawn to this too. So people see you doing this and they'll just want to join along. And that's a good thing. I mean, you can start a movement that way. It doesn't take much.
And things snowball in a good way too. when you start getting people involved and really start putting your own genuine energy into something. I think people find something authentic in that, and they're more apt to help you than if you just see a commercial for something, perhaps. If we want to start doing something, I mean, maybe where do we start thinking about it? I think you hit on it earlier on when maybe we have to kind of take care of our own household, at least if you have high debt or if you really kind of behind eight ball with bills and whatnot. Where should the average person start putting their head into maybe doing more?
Well, I think the first thing that anybody needs to do is, you know, take a survey of their own values and figure out what's important to them to get some focus. If you're just getting started with this, it really helps to get an idea of what you want to do first and what's important to you. And from there, you can move on and see what's needed in the world, what already exists, you know, how can I contribute and all of that. Before you even start thinking about how much money you have to give and how much time you have to give, figure out what's important to you and what your values are. I think that's the most important thing to start. And then you can start to look at, well, okay, so let's say that my one passion is providing science education for inner city youth, something like that. You have experience in science, for instance, and that's something that you really want to do. So, and you see a need for this because, you know, whether the schools are failing kids or whatever the issue is, they're not getting enough support for science at home. You figure out what aspect of that you want to really help with. And then you do the research and you see what's being done right now, what can be improved, you know, based on your own experience with this. Or maybe you need more time to study this and figure out what the issues really are, what people are facing. And I would give it a lot of time. I mean, there's no need to rush into this. If you're finding yourself at the end of the year and you're just looking for a tax deduction, there are better ways to do this than, you know, giving your money blindly to an organization. And I have ideas for that too, but.
We'll start an organization on the spot, and if anybody wants to give us money.
Let's turn this into a non-profit right here.
As long as it's not the human fund from Seinfeld.
That's right.
There you go. You know, I think in general, people do enjoy when they give something to someone. They do enjoy it, and I think it's a good feeling to know that you're impacting someone really in a positive way. And I think just, you know, like you said, Harlan, being able to be on the ground and seeing what you're doing take effect is very impactful, as opposed to just putting a $20 check in the mail and maybe alleviating some guilt that you might have because you're not doing enough. And it doesn't take a lot to do a whole lot. So I think we've done a great job of talking about charity and doing good with your money and time in general. And what we'd like to do here is we'd like to do a final word and go around and get everybody's summation of our topic. So we'll start with you, Tom. What's your final word?
For me, it's about how to use your time effectively. We mentioned it recently on making extra income. You kind of look at what you're good at, look at your hobbies. You can kind of do the same with how you donate your time. Like I've built websites for charities so that they can get ticket sales and everything for their event. It's just sort of using what you're good at. It's a lot more effective. Like an hour of me doing that is probably more useful than me being in a soup kitchen for an hour or something like that.
And Miranda, your final word.
I think that there's this idea, as we were kind of mentioning a little bit before, that you have to do something grand and marvelous, and really you don't. I think the issue is doing something to get outside of yourself and try and make a difference. And kind of, I read this book once and basically just said, you know, you try to make whatever corner of the world you're in a better place. You don't have to go out there and try and change the world. You can start small, as we were talking about earlier, and you can do something to engage with your community, just to make your community a better place. If everybody just did small things to help engage with their community and get to know their neighbors and help in their community, then a lot of our issues would probably not exist.
And Harlan, what's your final word?
Yeah, I would say, just to wrap things up, you want to give effectively, whether you're giving your time, talent, or treasure, or a combination of the three, and you want to make sure that you're not doing a disservice to yourself at the same time. The way to do that is to be on top of your finances in the first place, which is, you know, stuff I've been talking about for I don't know how long now, and being able to, you know, that gives you the starting point that's going to let you be able to be not in control, not only of your finances, but of, you know, what you're putting out into the world.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, and I'll just add in, you know, I think a lot of what you said was great stuff for everybody here. It doesn't have to be big. Everybody has something that they can give somebody else as far as a ways to help. It could be monetary. It could be that your time. Everybody has some sort of maybe expertise or something that they could help pass on to somebody else. So, you know, we should always try to do something. Even if we're down on money, we could find something to do. And I think as Miranda was saying, you know, everybody does something a little bit, and really we can snowball and make something better happen. Thank you, Harlan, for joining us today and sharing your insight.
Thanks for having me.
We love having you here. Where can people learn more about what you're doing, both online and off?
Well, normally I say lukelandis.com is a good place to go, but I've been spending my time on other things. Plutus Awards right now is taking up most of my time. So just look for the Plutus Awards coming and a new website to you sometime in the next who knows when. But yeah, the Plutus Awards, and check me out on Twitter at Luke_Landis. That's probably the best way to figure out what's going on.
Looking forward to hearing about all of your projects, not just the Plutus Awards. Although we do appreciate the Plutus here, as we are an award-winning show.
That's right.
Thank you again, Luke, for joining us. And thank you, everybody out there who's listening and watching. And until next week, be good with your money.
Thanks for joining us on the Money Mastermind Show. Get more information at moneymastermindshow.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube, and follow us on Google+.